the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
We really are Evan Jellyfish, aren't we? I mean, we really are. We really are jellyfish, we Christians. You know what an Evan Jellyfish is? You know what a jellyfish is, right? I could be wrong. I don't think a jellyfish has a backbone. And so that's when I think I'm the one 15 years ago that coined that phrase, by the way. I don't know. Probably won't go down in the annals of history for coming out of my mouth, but I wrote about it 2000 and maybe even 2004, and I called us Evan Jellyfish. And now that's pretty much a common phrase. And we're in the mess we're in today because Christians are evangelifish. What is that? That's a Christian without a backbone. I got a lot of good stuff today. It's Friday. We're getting ready to head to Louisville, Kentucky for our event down there that God bless my brother in Christ, Bobby Lee, for putting everything together down there. Bobby's become a real trooper, real warrior. Hey, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to be where. There's something going on, boys and girls. As I was laying my head down on my pillow to go to sleep last night, had a lot of different faces pop into my head. I wish I could say that I was praying for you. I should have been, but I wasn't. But I had a lot of different faces popping into my mind. The guys who were really, really active and really getting stuff done. Really, really, really moving something. And I made the point yesterday, maybe we don't number in the thousands or the hundreds of thousands or the tens of thousands. But we got ourselves a hardy crew. And as we know, it took about 12 of them to turn the world upside down. So I'm excited every morning when I get up to come in here. I appreciate every one of you out there and the efforts that you're making to try to make a difference in the world in which we live. And just like so many of you, I get so sick and tired. If there's anything that wears me out more than anything, it's this continued fighting I have with brothers in the Lord who don't seem to get it and don't understand it. And I'm going to say this. This is going to really make him mad. But I don't care. I noticed yesterday that HB, whatever it was down there in Texas, the abolition bill died because one elected official would not let it out of committee. I can't remember his name. Doesn't matter. Most of you know who it is. Leach, maybe? I don't know. He, pro-life legislator, wouldn't let it out of committee. And as a result, the bill died. So there aren't going to be any babies saved in Texas. The abolition bill went to save all babies, and there aren't any that are going to be saved. And Ohio passed a heartbeat bill, and some of them will be saved. Now, in my own heart, I can't figure out, somebody help me out here, which is better, none being saved or all being saved? I'm sorry, none being saved or some being saved? Which is, and this battle just continues to rage within our own team. By the way, if I was the head football coach, I wouldn't put up with it. But I'm not, so we'll work through it. So we're going to Louisville. Craig's down there. Craig, come on in here a little bit. You came all the way from where, Craig, this morning? Come on now, brother. Pop back in here. I was just talking to him.
I'm right here.
Where are you, Craig? Where'd you come from?
From right on the border of Arkansas and Missouri.
So it's been how long of a drive?
12 hours at least.
Drove all night to be there, be with us.
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable, Craig.
I left at 7 o'clock last night, and I'm just now getting into Louisville.
Well, as I said, man, eat a hamburger, relax. Yep. We'll be down there before long, and sure do appreciate you doing that.
No problem. I don't know what it was, Coach. Something, the Holy Spirit, I say. And I didn't know I was going to go until a buddy of mine said he'd ride with me. And I said, let's do it. You know, let's get there.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Well, we what's that old movie? If you build it, they will come. Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dave.
Chad.
I wanted to say about Craig that Craig, to me, is like Ray LeBlanc for you. He's the go-to guy. He'll go anywhere. He'll do anything at any time. He's the most humble guy that I've ever met.
Unbelievable, man.
Hey, Chad, I love you. You're trying to make me cry again, ain't you, brother? I love you, Chad.
Folks, we cannot win without guys like Craig and Ray and those guys who do all the dirty work behind the scenes, Victor, all those guys. You know, it may be my face on Hagman. It may be Mark Trump on – it might be Seskovich. Did I get that right? Seskovich. Maybe Matt on it. But behind the scenes, there are a lot of guys that are doing a lot of pounding the pavement, doing everyday stuff that makes all the difference in the world. So I appreciate every one of you out there. Wish I could, you know, throw your face on up so you can be recognized by everybody. But let me tell you, it ain't as great as what you might think. We're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to get there at 3:00 this afternoon. If you can roll into Louisville any way that you can, we're going to go to the abortion clinic tomorrow. And again, it's the last standing abortion clinic in the state of Kentucky. And by the way, has already been ordered closed by the governor. But of course, the governor doesn't have any power. The federal courts step in and say it puts an undue burden on women. This death pit that we're going to in Louisville, Kentucky, has been ordered shut down, yet it isn't shut down. Now, folks, it goes back to, are we going to have equal justice, or are we not going to have equal justice? Are we going to have equality in this nation? Are we going to be a nation ruled by unelected federal appointed bureaucratic judges? Is that the way this country's going to be run? It's going to continue to be run that way as long as we allow it to. Okay. And you guys who know me, who really know me, know that at the heart of everything that I do is the gospel, at the heart of everything. And folks, I got to tell you something. If you don't understand that the gospel is at the heart of the government, the gospel issue is the heart of the government, I don't even know what I can say to help you. I really don't. Those of you who think the gospel is somehow separated from government, somebody has told you a whopper. And not only have they told you a whopper, you have believed the whopper. Because if government was reflective of the gospel, if government was reflective of the kingdom of God, there would be no lying, there'd be no cheating, there'd be no stealing, there would be accountability, there would be justice, there would be equal justice, there would be no favoritism. What was it Paul said? No Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free. We would all be on equal playing field. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men were created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And the people who are in government aren't any more important than anybody else. They're not any. Hillary Clinton is not any more important than me. She's not any more important than Craig Alkemeyer. She just thinks she is. And we honor her like she is. Well, we honor her service. But as far as I know, there are a lot of guys who laid down their lives, who died for this country, who need to be honored far more than Hillary Clinton. Somebody say amen. So I know I'm talking to the right crew here. What has she done?
Amen.
Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, what have any of them done? They call it public service. They get rich off of it, folks. Rich off of public service. They are our servants, and they get rich of it, and then they hoard it over the top of us. And then we, like good little serfs, we bow to them and honor them and give them perks for life and make them above the law. I'm just sick of it. The gospel is at the heart of everything that we're doing. I get the emails, preach the gospel. Stick to the gospel, coach. This world is doomed. Stick to the gospel. Yeah, okay. Okay. What gospel? What are you talking about? Stick to the gospel. Gospel of the kingdom. Our Father, thy heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You pray that and don't try to do it. You pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Is God's will that babies would die? To be slaughtered in the womb? Is that God's will? Why do you pray that stinking prayer if you don't try to help his will to be done on earth? Say, oh, well, coach, he's, you know, God's not really, it's really not about that, coach. It's really more about, it's about this and it's about that, coach. It's about Israel and it's about, no, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We pray that and we don't believe it. And so what would God's will be? Would God's will be that our government be corrupt? No, that's not his will. No. Well, why is this government corrupt? Because we've ignored it, and we've turned it over to evil men. Evil men have crept in unawares, and they changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve creatures rather than the creator. This isn't easy. And I don't know why I feel like I'm so much out on a limb out there all by myself, why the average pastor doesn't even get it. Well, how can you pray that prayer and not get it? How can you go to 2 Corinthians, go there, Jared, how can you go to 2 Corinthians 10 and not get it? What is the disconnect? Occupy till I come. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. What is it? How have we divided and separated and picked and choose and pulled out and cut out certain parts of the scriptures and ignore them and say, well, that doesn't apply now. It doesn't apply here because it doesn't apply today. Because, Coach, if you look to the stars and skies and the moons, it's all coming down, Coach. This thing's all coming down. So since it's all coming down, don't be wasting your time to do anything. Don't try to occupy. Don't try to contend for the faith, Lord. Coach, don't even do any of that stuff, Lord. Let that evil government. Oh, my goodness. Can somebody tell me? Right now, what domain God's not in control of? Somebody help me out here real quickly. One area of the world that God's not in control of. Can some, better yet, what area of the world has God said to the devil, hey, you go ahead and run that. I'll get you in the end, but go ahead and be in charge of all that. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. What is finished? For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest that he would destroy the works of the devil. Boom, it's finished. I did it, boys. I'm back in charge. We're back in charge, boys. How do you read the gospel and find a different message in it than that? Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach. Hey, good morning. You know, from a historicist perspective of the Bible, you're exactly right that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so in order for that to come into full fruition, in order for the kingdom to reach its fulfillment, which it will, that means that the systems of this world have to be destroyed. Well, who's going to be a facilitator of destroying those? That's going to be we, the Christians. So really, when we're praying, God's will be done, his kingdom come, then we have to get out and work our butts off, and we have to do God's will because, see, that's how those systems are going to come down, and that will ultimately usher in the kingdom of Christ, with Christ, of course, being the ruler, because the scripture tells us that Jesus will remain in the heavenlies until all enemies are put under his feet. Amen. So we have a lot of work to do.
Nowhere in the scripture does it say that that the devil puts Jesus under the devil's feet. Nowhere does it say that, see? Nowhere. We are supposed to be thriving. And the reason we're not thriving and the reason we're not taking over some of these areas is because we don't have the faith to believe it, nor do we have the knowledge base to believe it. We have been convinced by Satan, by Beelzebub, by old Slewfoot, that he's in charge. I hear that all the time. This world belongs to the devil. No, it is. He won it back at Calvary. Jesus won it back at Calvary. Somebody's been lying to you. Some old, fundamentalist Baptist preacher, somebody lied to you. He's in control. All power has been given unto him. Read your Bible. And he handed it off to us, Psalm 78. We're supposed to teach it to our children, or teach it to their children. We haven't done that. We haven't done that. Psalm 78, put Jared's Johnny on the spot. There it is, Jared. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law unto Israel, which he commanded our dads, commanded the dads that they would make them known to their children. It is a commandment, and we haven't done it. We're in the mess we're in because we have not established and appointed that law and taught it to our children. Why? That the generation to come will know them, even the children who should be born, who would arise and would do what? Well, they teach it to their children. We have not done that, see? This isn't God turning it over to the devil. It's disobedient Christians. That's the problem.
Yeah, Coach.
The generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bowstring back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. That is what we see in America today. Somebody tried to come in. I walked on.
Yeah, Coach, you know, praying for thy will to be done and and his kingdom to come are related, but they're not identical. His kingdom come, thy kingdom come, is the end result that we're praying for. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is the process to get that result. And well, when you look at the word will, there's all different kinds of ways that it can correctly be translated. It could be desire. It could be plan. It could be, you know, all different kinds of things. And God's desire is that all men should be saved. The word tells us that so clearly. But his plan, his will, in the aspect of being his plan is for his children to bring about his kingdom through obedience. And that's what's lacking here, especially in the United States, is obedience. In fact, what's lacking here in the United States is even trying to listen to God.
Amen. Larry, you're all over that one.
That's good.
You're all over that one. Jared, go back to chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It's like people don't read their Bibles. Oh, wow. It is like that, isn't it? It's like people don't read their Bibles. It's like people don't read the Constitution. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is sort of like that, isn't it? Now, I, Paul, beseech you, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. By the way, meekness, I need a month. Meekness is controlled power. Controlled power. Not hiding, cowering, afraid. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the controlled power and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. See, Paul's saying some people, you get so bold and they think it's just you and your flesh. They don't understand the things of the Spirit, Paul says, because Paul was a bold, bold, loud man. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but how about this? But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, boys and girls, what does he mean by that? What are strongholds? What are strong? See, strongholds are controlling people. The battle's not carnal. It's a spiritual thing, but we're pulling down these things that are controlling people. Casting down imaginations. What's an imagination? Somebody's made up. Things that will get planted in our brains that aren't true. It's an imagination. And every high and thing and that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we're supposed to bring it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. Time out. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Hey, boys. Where? Where would this disobedience show up? Having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. Who's supposed to have it? Who's supposed to do it? Well, those of us who walk not according to the don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That when we're readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, how about that? When you are obedient to what he's told you to do, what's going to happen? You're going to revenge all disobedience. Somebody think I'm misreading this? Somebody getting a different interpretation out of this than me? What? This gospel, folks, is not just personal. This is a world-changing, world-conquering, governmental system, the kingdom of God. It's coming, by the way. It's coming. The New Jerusalem, it's coming. But until then, we're supposed to be occupying and doing this kind of stuff. And we haven't been. I rambled on. Somebody want to say anything? Doesn't matter if you don't. It's okay. Boy, I haven't got the stuff yet. I haven't got to Iowa. They're in Iowa. I'm Chappaqua. You guys know what's going on. I'm going to talk about some of that here in a second.
Coach, hey, you're right on. But you know what? The natural man can't walk in that. You have to be a spiritual man to see that fulfilled.
Randy, I read the wonderful thing that you wrote today. In fact, I was going to share it. I want you guys to know this. That my natural man would be panicked with what fire I've lit. The natural man would, but still, he's still fighting. The natural man's still fighting to be afraid. He's still fighting to. But see, I don't walk after the flesh. I walk after the spirit. And I wish you guys could get the deep revelation that I have. My obedience is fulfilled. When I went to Chappaqua, my obedience was fulfilled. Do you guys understand that? And I'm going to ask you this. How many of you are not fulfilling the obedience? How many of you? How many of you has the Lord told you to do something, you haven't done it? And because you haven't done it, what happens? You aren't able to revenge all disobedience. That's what happens. And I'm a soldier in this battle, just like a soldier in the natural world fights in a war. I'm fighting in a spiritual war and a natural environment, in a carnal environment. But my weapons are just as powerful and just as real. And my job is to do everything I can to subdue this false kingdom so that his kingdom can come. And it doesn't happen just through prayer. And it doesn't happen just sitting and let everybody do whatever the hell they want to do, whatever type of hell they want to exalt. That is not the way that this kingdom operates. And I'm sorry. Maybe we need a new reformation. Maybe we're going to lead a new reformation. The way that we think about Christianity, think about Christ, and think about how it's supposed to play out in this natural realm. Randy, I appreciate you, man. You know this. I know this, Randy. You get it. I know you get it. I got to share this. This is where the Lord's taking me. This is where the Lord's taking me. Jared, go to, I sent you an email, Jared. It says Evangelical Establishment. I want you to pull that up there for me because this is just where the Lord's taking me. Okay, I'm going to read this. This is written by Patrick McIntyre, who I don't know. This is what we're dealing with, friends. During the last 100 years, when evangelical Christianity was waging war for converts, certain questionable practices were overlooked. But we're no longer the kook fringe. We are the establishment. The frenzy of wartime mentality, characterized by wild claims of battle successes that never were, must be replaced with reasonable, honest results. And it's time to take thought for the wounded. For every truly saved American, for every person who's really saved and really part of the remnant, the Holy Spirit lives them. That's how you know. For every one American who's truly saved, there are at least six more they've had a salvation prayer, and as a result, they think they're saved. Many of these gave up on God and are now cynical. I've tried that before. Sinners that call people who go to church hypocrites. These are the most vocal haters of true Christianity. Their hatred is fueled by a dream that proved to be, in their case, only a nightmare, because there are tares in the churches. If less than 10% of Americans are saved, meaning that the Holy Spirit lives in them, then over half the people who go to church on Sunday are horribly deceived. Every poll, every statistical analysis, every internal and external church study shows what every evangelist and pastor knows or should know. The majority of people who go to church in America are the moral equivalent of heathen. Boy, this is a hard word. Bill Bright, who should know, read his book, See Blinded by the Bright. Bill Bright said, many who call themselves Christians are not really biblical Christians at all. And although they may be religious people who attend church regularly, they've never experienced a new birth and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Dr. Rod Bell, president of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship of America, believes 50% of people that go to church are lost. Evangelist Luis Palau said of the 80% of Americans who claim to be Christian, Luis Palau said 80% of Americans claim to be Christian, but few live any differently from pagans or atheists. as though God has no claim on their lives. Well, that's a mic drop. Dr. James Dobson admitted that the majority of Americans are dabbling in religious expression that has no substance. A.W. Tozer said probably less than 1 out of 10 evangelicals knows anything experientially about the new birth. Only 1 out of 10 even understands what the new birth is about. When church leaders are all acknowledge the problem, most think while church leaders all acknowledge the problem, most think evangelical fish live like the heathen because of a lack of sanctification. Instead of trying to get them saved so they'll be changed by the Holy Spirit, we try to get them to act like Christians. After 100 years, winds of doctrines have effectively buried the biblical teaching of holistic salvation. Forensic or legal salvation has been exalted above experiential salvation to the point where the landmarks of power over sin and the workings of the Holy Spirit are buried like treasure, waiting to be exposed. Let me stop right there and let me add a caveat. People say, Coach, once saved, always saved. You can't backslide. Once you're in the Lord's hand, he's got you. Well, that's true. If you're saved. Boys and girls, if you're saved, you ain't backsliding. The evangelical church is at the same point that the Catholic Church was when Luther brought the Reformation. Like that Reformation, this Reformation will require a return to biblical understanding of holistic salvation. We need to stop putting a salvation prayer band-aid on cancer and telling people they are healed. Like Luther, we have to return to biblical understanding of saving faith. Like Luther, we need to acknowledge that he who has been made righteous does works of righteousness. Folks, works follow salvation. Works are evidence of salvation. Just as Luther unmasked the deceptive practice of indulgences, we must unmask the deceptive practice of leading people in a salvation prayer. When the penny drops, a soul is released from purgatory. That saying from the Catholic Church was almost as harmful as when you sincerely repeat this prayer, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The first practice gave sinners the confidence that their friends and relatives could buy their way out of purgatory. The second statement offers the sinner no fault insurance from hell. Most people who attend evangelical churches, like the one George used to go to, one Roger still goes to, ignore the small print and go right to the bottom line. Because they said a salvation prayer, God doesn't see their sin anymore because they're covered by the blood of Christ. So they can go on sinning without the fear of God. In fact, most are taught that there's nothing they can do that will disqualify their free ticket to heaven. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Romans 6:1. Yes, say modern evangelicalism. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James 2:20. No, says modern evangelicalism. Faith without works is normal for most American evangelical Christians. There's no longer a need for showing forth the fruits of repentance or making your election sure. A youth pastor I know told a group of mostly lost teens that if they committed suicide, they'd go to heaven. What kind of distorted theology would cause a minister to say such a thing to a group of teens, most of which had no evidence of being saved? This is the result of the scandal of modern evangelicalism. We have become arrogant with the scriptures, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. That's 2 Peter 3. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer then? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were also baptized into his death? Stay with me. No evangelist or pastor before 1900, talking about our old preachers now, none of them would have looked at the condition of the people going to church today and concluded that their carnality was a result of the lack of sanctification. They would have accurately concluded that the vast majority were never saved. The next question they would ask is, why do they think they're saved? The answer is the scandal of modern evangelism. The evangelical establishment has a choice to make. Either recognize that churches are full of heathen and try to make them into saints, or become as irrelevant as most European churches. Either return to God's way, complete transformation of the individual by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, or continue throwing precious resources into worldly social reforms, becoming just another welfare program.
Coach, I got your answer for the preachers of today in the United States. It might be I might step on some toes, but I have anger. And I've had anger for 55 years. Most of the preachers I see don't have the calling. Most of the preachers I see are paid preachers. The churches I've been to are non-paid preachers. They're working preachers. I've been in Primitive Baptist, Presbyterian. All my see that have a calling. They don't sit in there for 1 hour in the church and they walk out the door shaking hands. Most of the ones I see been to are 3 to 4 hours a day on a Sunday. All I see is these preachers not having a calling. All they're in for is the money. They don't want to step on the toes of their constituents in their churches. My father-in-law had 3 churches, did not get paid. All the money that came in that church went for the church and the families of that church. These pastors get caught up what they're making, how much they're doing for the church, and not proceeding in the gospel of their salvation. No calling has came to these preachers. I'm sorry I stepped on some toes.
No, you didn't, bro. Joe, I don't know if you guys know this or not. God bless you, buddy. God bless you. My buddy, my good buddy, Dr. Mark Spalding. Dr. Mark Spalding, he's having a big event. I'm looking to see if he's in here today. Don't want to embarrass him. Mike Spalding pastors a church in Lima, Ohio, and does not take 1 cent. Doesn't take 1 cent. And that should convict all of us. Being a pastor is a calling. It's not a vocation. It's not a job, but we've turned it into one. Listen, I'm not trying to beat up on the pastors. We all got to live. We all got to eat. I've no problem with that. You know what? I went for one of my walks yesterday once I got Victor off the phone. And just kidding, Vic. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, why me? Why am I the only one that's, why would I go to Hillary's place? Of all the big name preachers out there with big congregations and political clout, people behind them, didn't one of them think of going to Hillary Clinton? Are none calling for justice, as we read in Isaiah? None call for justice? What is going on? How can we sit back and watch the open destruction of our once great culture and have no pushback from the pulpits, from Christians in general? We call people to come to Chappaqua. Anybody want to bet how many pastors will come to Chappaqua? Anybody want to see? Anybody want to bet how all the griping and moaning? You go on Facebook, everybody's griping and moaning about this, moaning about that. How many of them going to come to Chappaqua? They come into Chappaqua? No, they got something else going on, which is exactly what we just read is talking about. Not a deep conviction to the things of the Lord that matter to the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to, I'm not kicking anybody in the teeth that can't come. Some of you have legitimate reasons why you can't. I understand that. But we put a call out like this, you would think half the country would show up. But they won't. Come on in. We'll shift gears on you here a minute. Somebody come on in.
You know, Coach, I went to the Methodist church and preached in front of them. And I went yesterday, or day before yesterday, to knock on the door and actually talk to the leadership there about the people that are there that do not know God and that you're part of your congregant. And their doors were locked up. I couldn't talk to anybody. Hmm. I went to the Presbyterian church. They don't have a sign. I think their building is closed. But I was at, God brought people to talk to. But then one of their, apparently their staffers came out to deter me from talking to them about God even further because we were having a dialogue. It just, when I go try to talk to on the outside. Go ahead.
Jeff, hear this. It's what we just read. The establishment churches in America are about 30 years behind Europe. These are dead Ephesus. You drive down the streets and look, notice how many places you see that used to be churches that are closed. Why are they closed? Because they're businesses.
Right, right.
They're closed because they're businesses and the customers quit coming.
Right. But when you talk to pastors and stuff, they use their theology. I have a degree. I'm above you.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I have one too. Somebody else, come on in.
They must know something that we don't.
What would that be?
Well, I don't know, Dave, but they must think that the collapse of the Western civilization is not going to affect them. When history has shown us that's not the case, they must know something that we don't because they show no fear of how Western civilization is collapsing around us.
They have no buy-in to Western civilization.
And that may be the case too, but they just must think this is not going to touch them. They must think that they're going to escape. And I think your comment about Western Europe is correct. Western Europe is dead.
London is Muslim, folks.
London is Muslim.
How far behind are we? How far? See, it's like, I don't know if you guys saw me on the Hagman report last night. I'm going to show you a clip up here in a second. I was on with Doug last night. And the Holy Spirit said something through me that was just astounding. It's just astounding. And I was flashed back to Winston Churchill. Fellas, maybe it was even Patrick Henry. Are we going to wait for the enemy to get stronger before we fight? What are we waiting on? Are we waiting for them to actually get all of their powers and all their people arrayed, get everybody on the battlefield, and then say, okay, declare war, and then we who aren't organized or prepared or anything, we're going to fight back against that stuff. When will we be in a better position to fight than we are right now? Can somebody tell me about looking out on the culture and everything that's going on and hatred of Christ and hatred of Christianity and the suppression of free speech and look around and you tell me, are we going to be in a better position 5 years from now to fight than we are? What are we waiting on? What are we waiting on? Hey, folks, the war is coming to us. It is coming to us. Are we going to wait till it's right at our front door before we fight?
Hey, Coach.
Hang on just a second. When Randy gets in trouble, am I just going to sit back, say, oh, poor Randy, and go about my life? Or am I going to understand the importance of gathering around our brother who's being persecuted by an ungodly, evil system? Because if we don't, we are the next ones. And when will we be stronger? Go ahead, Larry.
You know, you're singing my song. London is controlled by Muslims.
our country is going to be controlled by Muslims. Now, I know that what I'm about to say doesn't apply to everybody in this huddle and listen, but it applies to some. Y'all all know what I've been trying to do for over a year now is build a coalition of people belonging to various organizations so we can kind of get all our strength pooled together in numbers, and we can start letting those numbers work for us in the form of force. Not violence, but force. You know, numbers speak to a politician, etc. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not even going to try to say it as pleasantly as I can. I'm going to say it the way it's coming to me. Those of you who have already signed up for STAB, thank you. Those of you who have already signed up for STAB and say the only thing I can do is pray for you, bullhorn. If you manage to sign up for STAB, you have some kind of computer skills. You can take 30 seconds and put out a call for your friends and your neighbors and your acquaintances and your contact and put out a call for them to sign up to help you. Don't tell them to sign up to help me. Tell them to sign up to help you and your grandchildren in your country. And you send it out. Don't just forward or share something that I post on Facebook. That's the laziest way to pretend you're doing something. And I'm talking, and now there's some of you that may be the only thing you can do is pray. You're in a circumstance, you can't do anything else. Well, I covet those prayers. But the other prayers without action, don't waste your time even praying then, folks. And that's what I'm going to tell you.
Well, amen, Larry, and amen you and your efforts. But let me throw this out here because I think, God bless you, Larry. I'm with you. I'm with you. Folks, our enemy, hear me, is secularism. Secularism is making it possible for Islam to come. See, if we were really a truly Christian people, Islam wouldn't get to first base. But they've dumbed us down with secularism. All religions are equal. All people are equal. Who are you to judge? That's how they have dumbed us down. I was playing in my golf league the other night. I think I told you guys this. And somebody mentioned to me about the fact that I'd made the video about transgender teachers, and all these pirate league guys out there drinking beer and acting like fools. They all think a transgender should not be teaching kids. All of them. But yet, what do they say? Well, you know, everybody's got a right to live their lives however they want to. Secularism. I'm with you, Larry, but it's only secularism that's permitted Islam to even get a foothold. The church has lost its salt and its savor. The church no longer stands for anything. There are no pillars upon which Christians stand. That's why all this other crap's able to come sweeping in. And I'm with you 100%, Larry. I'm with you 100%. But we can make a difference also right here in the secularism that's going on in our kids' schools, in our public schools. Stop voting for school levies. Well, I don't know how I got on that one. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, I sent Larry this information. There's 21 camps, Muslim camps in the United States. That's where they train at. And I think Larry got my email I sent him. But
hey, Joe, how many? Hang on. God love all of you. I'm just trying to be sharp point here. How many secular humanistic training camps are there in America? About 5 in every freaking community. There's the high school, the middle school, and this elementary school, and that elementary school. They are terrorist training camps as well. I'm with you. Coach. I'm with you. I'm not making light of anything. I'm trying to show us cause and effect. Yes, come on in.
The way that I see it, it's that it's about a cuisine. You have the devil's cuisine. You have God's cuisine. In Wikipedia, it says cuisine is a style of cooking characterized by distinct ingredients, technique, dishes, and usually associated with a specific culture, geographic region. What I'm saying, I don't want no fear. I don't want no doubt. I don't want none of the victuals that the devil's cooking. I want what my Lord, the man of the love and the joy, the confidence that we have in him. I'm going to his restaurant. Now, what restaurant are we talking about? All those mega churches, all those schools, all that stuff that is going to help and control your mind. And they're trying to control your spirit. Ain't controlling mine. Mine is being controlled by my Holy Spirit, and that's all I got to say.
Me too, Vic. Me too. See, and our churches have become secularized, humanistic training centers. It is the gospel mixed with secularism. That's all our churches are. It's all they are.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, Coach, I think we would all agree that today, men like you, men like us, we're not mainstream, which is a good thing. Amen. But, you know, let's look back just 500 years ago at the Reformation. You know, Martin Luther, it was the same type of environment in his day. It was very secular and very heathenistic, right? Yes. And one man stood up, and look what came as a result of it. You know, most people back then would have probably laughed at him, thought, oh, this guy's a real clown. This guy will never amount to anything. And I propose to say, just like Martin Luther, every one of us in this queue that are Christians are a direct result, a legacy of Martin Luther, of what happened to the Reformation. I say this, Coach, that the day's coming when men like you will be mainstream. It will be mainstream, and all this other stuff will be destroyed, and the truth will come out, and we will be what people are supposed to be doing.
George, that's what I'm fighting for. That's my vision, George. And it's like Chad S. has just sent me a text message. It says this, and the FBI won't visit those jihadi camps, Larry, because they got to spend time coming visiting guys like me. What's that tell you about where we are in America, huh? They're not down on the border. They're not inspecting things down on the border. They're visiting guys like me. Come on in.
Hey, Coach. You know, a majority of churches, they're not going to read one verse out of the book of Revelation, brother. It ain't going to happen. It's not allowed. They don't want to hear anything about end times. They don't hear anything about the spirit of Antichrist. So that's one part of it. But what's going to happen is this, and I'm praying against this. I'm praying against this. God forbid it happen. But these Islams over here, they're going to blow up a school bus full of children. They're going to blow up a school. They're going to do something that's going to shake the trees out here out in the woods. And the folks that's really, it's going to wake them up, get their attention. There's going to be a bounty on their head. That's what's going to happen, Coach.
Yeah, I believe so, too. I believe so, too. Hey, Jared, let me switch gears. I got 15 minutes. I want to wrap this up real tight. Let me say this while it's on my heart. Hey folks. Some of you, if you could help us with expenses this weekend, I would appreciate it. Some of you can make a donation. I've got several people coming who can't afford to come. And so, you know, we're helping them with hotel rooms and different things like that. And if the Lord just moves on your heart to help us with that, I sure would appreciate it. Jared, pull up the Hagman video real quick. This is not to blow my own horn, but this is, folks, you get a chance later on. They don't always do this. They made this a standalone piece. They cut it up last night real quickly, and they got it out on the internet, and I saw it this morning. I was on last night on the Hagman report. God bless Doug Hagman. I've never he's made his donors available to us. I've never known anybody in ministry ever do that, ever, ever. But, Jared, my thing's going AWOL on me here. Pull that up there, Jared, and go to about the six-minute mark, because I want you to see this mic drop moment. You'll see it here. Let me find your chair.
That's the sign of a true Christian right there, Coach. He's focused on the kingdom, not about his ministry. And yes, to piggyback on Alan, before you show that video, the reason why they don't read the book of Revelation, Alan, is because the opening line, it says, this book is the revelation of Jesus. They don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's their problem.
That's right, brother. They're not even saved, man. They're not even saved. So, Jared, start there about the six-minute mark. You're good. When I come on here, I thought this was a pretty good segment. Go ahead, Jared.
Benghazi, ostensibly, allegedly. In his own words, you got James Comey publicly indicting Hillary Clinton until he decides not to. He says, no reasonable prosecutor would do this. Meanwhile, the deep state's laughing at us. You're sending me emails saying, what can we do? What can we do? I'm calling people and getting calls. What can we do? Well, now Coach Dave Dobmeier, Mark Trump, and others got together. Stephen Mankiw. And I'm forgetting people. Matt Skevich and others. So just let's just do this thing. Let's just do this thing. As Coach Dave says, we can win on the numbers. I've taken up too much of Coach Dave Dobmeier's time. Coach, thanks for coming on. Hopefully I set that up okay.
You did set it up good, Doug. And if you don't mind real quick, everybody's been warning me that I gotta be worried now. So I want to go a little bit incognito here. Because they said that, you know, the Clintons will find out who I am. The FBI will find out who I am. So I have to be worried. You know, Doug, I made the decision. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live my life in fear, bud. And that's what, you know, the FBI visited my house, you know, a couple weeks ago. Of all the people they could have visited, me, what have I done? I haven't done anything. I said I used to grab a few football players by the face mask. Maybe that's what it is. But inciting violence. No. Listen, I'm going to come out from hiding because I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of who I am. And not ashamed to be in this battle. And it really is, Doug, taking on a life of its own. When I went there a couple weeks ago, Joe, now, I just knew.
But folks, it goes on for about 45 minutes. It's really, really good. But I just thought it was a mic drop moment because we do want to hide, don't we? We just want to hide. Listen, Coach, I'll fight. Just don't say I'm in the battle. Coach, I'll fight. I'll fight, but just don't let anybody know I'm with you. That's where we are. That's exactly where we are. We're denying the Lord. All of us are denying the Lord. We got to stop doing it. Jared, go to my Facebook page real quickly. Anybody want to comment on that? Fellas, I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Coach.
Take time and watch that video because it unpacks. Boy, it unpacks it good. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, a lot of this is due to the result of what Thomas Jefferson wrote concerning the separation of church and state.
Yes, it's a lie.
Amend the 28th Amendment. Thou shalt not separate church from state.
Legalize Jesus. Legalize Jesus. That's the shirt that I want. Hey, scroll down for me a second here, Jared. Go a little bit lower. Legalize Jesus. That's what we ought to try to do. Keep going. There it is. Folks, are you sitting down? Huh? This is 2.5 minutes. How did the apostles die? You suppose they love their lives? You really think these guys wanted to lay it all on the line? You suppose, as we know, when they arrested Jesus, you could read it right in the scripture. I don't have it here. I have the scripture. I don't have it open here. It says that they all fled. They all fled. When they arrested Jesus, I think it's Matthew 20. Don't worry about Jared. They all fled. Why? Because they knew what was up and they didn't want to do it, man. I'm going to tell you right now, thank God for Jude and Simon, and Jonas and Philip, and Nathaniel, and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, John, the other Matthew, James. Thank God for them, man. Thank God for them. They came back to their senses. Thank God for the sacrifices they made for the faith. Thank God for those Faith Hall of Fame. Thank God for the first century church and the guys who suffered and died for it. Thank God. Thank God for them. They didn't have an easy walk. They didn't get their best life now. Go ahead, Jared, play this. According to church tradition, it was because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died, upside down. Go ahead, Jared. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Jesus. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with clubs. This is the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos, and he wrote his prophetic book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ, while in exile. Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as Bishop of Edessa in modern Turkey. He died as an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. After being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted in these words, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour."
Wow.
The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days till he died. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent. Nathaniel was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed for our Lord, in present-day Turkey. Nathaniel was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, where he was flayed to death by a whip. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero in Rome. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. The letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament written from jail. Perhaps this is a reminder to us that our sufferings here on are indeed minor compared to the intense persecution and cold cruelty faced by the apostles and disciples during their times. For the sake of the faith, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. There you go, boys. Why do we feel sleepy in prayer? Why are we just playing church? Okay, Jared, you can close that thing down.
Coach, that should inspire us to be living witnesses, a living sacrifice. Yeah. And if we have to go to that point, if we can't do what they did, we don't really have the gospel in us to start with.
We don't, brother. We don't. And see, it's only that type of commitment. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their own lives. Do you think any one of those disciples wanted to die? Nobody in their right mind wants to die.
And Coach, I'm sure you're familiar with it. I'm sorry. Pardon me?
Jesus said, there's no man than this, then he would lay down his life for his friends. My grandchildren are my friends. Good deal.
Yeah, I'm sure you're aware of it, but I would highly suggest, and I preach from it, especially around the 4th of July, is Fox's Book of Martyrs. It wasn't just these guys. It's hundreds and thousands of accounts of people who were brutally murdered and died at the hand of Christ because of their faith. So it's a great read. It'll encourage you.
I wonder how many Fox Book of Martyrs right there. That's a good deal. I wonder how many of those apostles got banned on Facebook. I wonder how many of them got defriended, blocked by Twitter.
Hey, Coach, you talked about this pastor and those 5 congregants, Burkina Faso or something out there in the Far East. Those Muslim guys, they came up there and they wanted him to disavow Jesus Christ, and he wouldn't do it. And they just killed him right then and there.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to go back 1,000 years to find martyrs. It's happening now.
It's happening right now, baby.
People that are making a stand for Christ now. Amen. Okay, if we're not willing to pay the cost or pay the price to serve the cross, then what are we doing?
The slaughter.
There's going to be a price to pay, one way or the other.
The slaughter that will come to America if we don't rise up is beyond what we can even imagine in our simple little brains. Hey, I'm heading to Louisville. Hope to see some of you down there. Have a great time up in Iowa. Get your tickets. Get ready to come to. Oh, so much stuff going on. God bless you all. Pray for us. Hey, help me with, please, send me a few bucks to help with this burden we have down here in Louisville. God bless you all. We'll see you on Monday.